Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show and sports fans around the globe, Canadian sports fans, I guess, so wherever you may be populated. It's the Rod Peterson Show for this Monday, September the 9th, episode number 69 of your favorite sports talk show. We plan today to continue to make sports talk great again, and we have some wonderful number 69s to point out today, as has become our tradition when we move along show by show by show. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. So if I'm Joe Buck, he's Troy Aikman.
I can deal.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm great with that one.
You notice they had America's Crew in for America's game yesterday in the National Football League.
You know, great crews for the Cowboys and Giants game, and we got Jim Nantz and Tony Romo for the early game.
Which was my game. The Tennessee Titans having their way with Chris Jones' Cleveland Browns. We welcome to the bunker our good and longtime friend, J.C. Garden of CTV Regina. How you doing, J.C.?
Very well.
You, the NFL aficionado, huh?
I might like it a little
too much. You have some sort of reputation in this province as the NFL guy, and that's not a bad rep to have.
I think that's pretty bold and probably will not live up to that statement. But
oh, you'll be just fine. It's going to be a big football day as I run down my hit list here of what we're going to talk about throughout the program and here in the warm-up as well. Of course, week one in the NFL, that's our poll question, which we'll get to as well. Which of the blowout wins yesterday, which teams are real contenders? I had the Cowboys in there. I had the Chiefs. I had the Titans. And there was a lot of blowouts yesterday.
Yeah.
Can't remember who all it is.
Ravens.
Patriots. Yeah. Shouts the business guy from the couch. His Patriots.
Patriots fans always thinking they're not getting their due, right?
Right. What more do you need?
Yeah.
Besides six Super Bowl banners,
and you're going to be the champion this year. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade.
The Patriots.
I'm done.
You're that's the lock of the season from J.C. Garden. So there will be a lot of NFL talk, but that's on our poll right now at Rod Peterson Show and on Facebook for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who's the contender already out of the blowout wins on Sunday in the National Football League? And we didn't put the Ravens in, even though they hung 59 on the Dolphins, because who believes the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl? Everybody's going to beat Miami this year, guys. That's all.
Tank for Tua.
Right. Now, CFL, of course, week 13. We're going to spend a lot of time on week 13, the triple header in the CFL, football day in Canada. The commissioner, of course, Randy Ambrosi, will be with us live from, I believe, the CFL head office to kick off hour two. That's 11 a.m. Mountain today. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. And our NFL CFL insider, Tory Gurley, is going to be with us as well. And I think he's in the big smoke, Hogtown. Tory can always talk NFL and CFL. His Browns just got a licking yesterday. And some tennis, a lot of things. But as far as the CFL triple header went, I just want to say this. I love the idea of football day in Canada. I love 9 straight hours of CFL football. But for me, life got in the way on Saturday, which is fine. I had a lot of things to do. So I didn't see any of the Argos Red Blacks game. I didn't see any of the Eskimos Stamps game. And I was in and out on the Ryder Banjo Bowl, and by the way, so were they. It was a 35-10. The Bombers hung one on them. But nephew's football game I went to, Big Bird was in a show and shine, which we almost won from what I understand. Had a wedding to go to and a political party fundraiser. So it was a busy Saturday. But I'm starting to think, as we discussed at our watch party yesterday at Ballers Rec Room, I think I might be a car guy now.
Yeah? You had fun?
For the first time in my life.
Do you have a car? What's your...
Big Bird.
No, but...
A favorite car? Yeah. 1975 Jeep CJ. Hello. That's my thing. People were taking pictures of their kids on Big Bird, sent it, putting them on social media. I'm thinking I might be a guy that just drives around every weekend across this continent and puts my vehicle in car shows.
Why not?
It seems like a life. It's a whole new world of people. You know, car show people.
Yeah.
I kind of like those people.
You know, I've had the privilege to go to a lot of small towns, Saskatchewan, and through CTV, and we find, and in pretty much every small town, there's always like some car guy that has a collection of amazing cars. So I can endorse this hobby. I can't afford it, but I can endorse it. Nor do I have the skill set to actually fix it.
I'm just starting to think that I'll just pack up my wife, we'll put Big Bird on a trailer, and just go to car shows every weekend, show and shines. I'll be that guy.
But you got the taste now. And now
that's what I mean.
But now you got to win. So what are you?
I want to win.
What are you going to do to Big Bird for upgrades?
That's exactly what I thought. So we didn't win it. Plainsview Credit Union put it on. Tell me what I need to do to win. I'm not going to cheat. What do I need to do? What kind of upgrades, paint jobs?
Yeah,
you tell it.
Exactly.
You spin on the rag and shine things up. I want to win. Of course, if I'm going to enter it, I want to win it.
Yes.
Doesn't everybody?
Right.
I don't just want a ribbon. So maybe that's what'll be what's fun. And of course, Barrett Jackson came up.
Yeah.
Going to Phoenix and putting it in the car show. I'm going to be that guy. But as far as the football went from the weekend, before we get to the NFL, and JC's here for a good time, but not a long time. The top three cities for viewing of this program we know are Regina, Saskatoon, and Winnipeg. So they all factor into the Banjo Bowl. And I'll just say this. That's the kind of game. That was a heel to the teeth by the Blue Bombers to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. That's the kind of game that's a statement game for both teams. Because Winnipeg's like, we are who we thought we were. Still the best team in the West Division. And they did it with their backups. And they came out and just kicked the Riders' ass from pillar to post. From the opening kickoff to the end of the game. And when Cody Fajardo comes out and says we didn't show up after the game, then I think we can say that the Riders didn't show up. So, JC, you said you checked out somewhat early on that game?
Yeah, checked out in the sense that I recorded it, I planned on watching it, and then the alert came in on my phone to say, yeah, it was 35-10, and then I looked at some of the highlights, or if you could even call them that, basically what Winnipeg did, and then I said, I'm not watching the rest of this. I'm not.
You didn't really miss it?
No.
How about you, Darren?
You know, it's funny. Live, I didn't watch a snap. And it's funny that we're on the show because the tennis was on. But I did go back and watch it. And it's hard to watch. I mean, I was fast-forwarding through parts, too, to get to the nuts. But, you know, Winnipeg, they were ready. They were completely ready to go. And you could see them dialed in on Cody Fajardo. You know, we had Ryan Ballantyne on from Calgary earlier in the season after the Calgary game. And they said, you know, they've got a scouting report on him. They knew Cody Fajardo's kryptonite, and Calgary had their way with him. Well, after 1 week of seeing him live, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers seemed to have a pretty good read on Cody, too. Every time he tried to spin out of the pocket, right, and find
space.
They
were certainly ready for that.
They were ready for that every single time. And, yeah, they didn't show up. He said it. Solomon Elamimian had some good comments afterwards, too, where they kind of owned up to it. And I think that's a good sign that the players kind of are taking this one. But now you have to respond in a big, big way, because that's not something to be proud of.
With Montreal here on Saturday. Well, and that's the thing. JC, if you've watched any of this program, the opening segment is where we cover everything. And then a little later on, we zero in on things a little more. So the fun part here is I'm at a fundraiser at Cravings. Off Victoria Avenue East, and somebody dared put on the tennis game, one of the servers or the bartenders, during the Banjo Bowl. And the poor guy almost got attacked. People were yelling at him. So for anybody to say, oh, what's more important around here, the CFL, the Ryder game, or the tennis? Stop. Why do we even ask? Because no! And then, of course, by halftime, it's, can you put the tennis on?
Excuse me.
Yeah. Can you come back over here for a second? So the tennis, obviously. So if you didn't watch it live, then obviously you were watching Bianca, which, if I may, up until 2 weeks ago, none of y'all knew who she was. So let's just, are we Raptors fans? Are we tennis fans? What are we? That part bothers me. the Johnny come lately of this country. But anyways, I get it.
We'll take them.
You'll take the fans.
We'll take them.
Well, you've been on the bandwagon for the whole sport, so I will give you the kudos.
Thank you.
Just not everybody else. So you were watching it live. What was your U.S. Open women's final afternoon?
It was exactly what Bianca's been kind of, the story she's been writing, right, of perseverance and this unbelievable mental toughness. One thing I've always noticed, you know, we're sports people, right? And it's almost like a sixth sense that you have when you just know that things are going to happen, right? When a quarterback gets the ball with under 2 minutes to go, and you just know he's going to drive the field, right? When the Leafs are up 4-1, my Leafs, against the Bruins, and you just know that it's not over, right? You just know. And you know before it happens. You have those feelings. And, you know, in sports, nobody, in tennis especially, when you get momentum on your side, it is very, very tough to come back. Very tough to break it. So first, Serena, who's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, down 5-1 in that second set with her back.
Are you calling her a goat?
She might be.
I'm joking. She's a goat. She's the goat.
She's got a hair in her chin, no. Kidding.
Keep going. Sorry.
She's down 5-1, and she finds, she wasn't getting it. Nothing was going right. And so she starts coming back. She breaks Bianca's serve twice, which that's tough to do. And the whole crowd, I mean, LeBron's there. Spike Lee's there. Everybody who's anybody is there in New York watching. And they're all
cheering. Henrik Lundqvist.
Yes, they're all cheering for Serena. And she's coming back. And now she's back on serve, and it's done. How does this 19-year-old recover? I thought it was over. Like, I've got that feeling. I know it's over. Serena's still down in the first set, but she's won the whole thing. And she found a way to come back and win that thing. Like, it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
Great story, absolutely. But I think when the ratings come out, well, I guess we'll find out. In Saskatchewan, it's going to be Riders here, tennis here. And Manitoba, too. But across the country, probably a lot more even. Ryan Ballantyne, you gave him the shout-out. The Stampeders blogger said he is on a flight, a WestJet flight to Toronto out of Calgary, and he just had to come on to gloat. And now he's checked out and he's done. So thanks. A lot of comments have come in. My mind's all over the place. Trent from Norway is watching this. He's checked in already this morning. Hello, Trent. Good evening. I hope the Krumkaka was good. He says that he has watched till halftime of the Banjo Bowl, and he checked out. That was from Trent. Tom in Winnipeg this morning says, when you stop and think it over for a bit, the Riders were one play away from being swept by a team without its starting pivot and starting tailback. I'm thinking the Riders aren't exactly Grey Cup contenders at the moment. And that's why I said this is a statement game potentially for both teams, because I think we know, we've followed sports long enough, and I've been on the inside long enough to realize that's the kind of ass kicking that puts doubt in the back of your own mind. How good are we? Because we just went in there, they were missing their four best players, and it wasn't even close. So now, as you said, will they bounce back against the Alouettes on Saturday? That's the question. They got a pretty good team coming in here on Saturday. And we'll delve a little more into the CFL games on the weekend. The NFL, obviously, with J.C. Garden. Number 69's Jared Allen. Vikings great.
Yep.
Look that up. Nick Hutchins, Rider great. Offensive line. As Tyler, our top salesman, says, Brock Lesnar wore 69 with the Minnesota Vikings for that month.
Good catch.
Because I talked to Brock about that. It's a hell of a story. We're tight now. And I looked it up in the NBA. It said, no one of repute ever wore number 69 in the NBA. The NBA is too classy to wear it. So we'll continue. This is the warm-up on this Monday morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Canada's most watched Facebook live show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. Catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Time is running out on the employee pricing of our 500 new vehicles in stock. Get up to 19 grand off new F-150s. The employee price on this Super Crew 4x4 is just $34,999 plus tax. Employee pricing on all new Ford Escapes means up to $7,500 off. And we have over 100 in stock. Plus, get up to 16 grand in savings on a brand new Super Duty. We have over 60 in stock. The countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Lincoln. Offers end September 30th.
Houston, We have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. 3 Canada West football games took place last Friday. Calgary beat Manitoba 24-10. Huskies defeated UBC 40-7, and Alberta defeated Regina 18-17 in a game we were at. Dupes called. Big homecoming game Friday night, Rams-Huskies, Mosaic Stadium. We're going to be talking about that later on in the program today. 2 PFC football games took place Saturday. Hilltops defeating the Thunder 28-21 in Saskatoon. It was in Saskatoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And the Calgary Colts defeated the Edmonton Wildcats 17-12. So there's a couple of local notes we'll get to through baseball and more NFL as the show goes along today. But that is your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And thank you, Ballers, for hosting us yesterday. Great time to watch week one in the National Football League. A lot of CFL fans chiming in this morning. And we will have the commissioner coming up in hour two. And we've got Tory Gurley coming up, our NFL insider. But J.C. Garden of CTV Regina here, as I mentioned, for a good time, not a long time. So, J.C., what's your week one takeaway in the NFL? Knowing full well that we still have a doubleheader tonight. But yeah. What's your takeaway?
Well, I think right away for me, and of course I've got way too many Patriots fans in my life.
is too many.
But. And I think the whole drama, and it seems like it was a lifetime ago, but it's like so big, was Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. the craziness around him getting released finally by the Raiders. And of course, everybody's like, oh, I'm going to laugh when the Patriots pick him up. Ah. Even one of my friends said, if the Patriots sign him, I'm going to quit football. And then 5 minutes later, signed Patriots.
It was five minutes. Was he happy though?
No. He honestly, we said, are you actually quitting football now? He's like, I hate my life. But this is how much my friend group loves the Patriots, save for the ones that cheer for them. But you watched that game last night and they dismantled Pitt. Pittsburgh did not have an answer. And Tom Brady was extremely efficient. And you saw what Josh Gordon can do in that offense. Edelman is Edelman. They've got like, I lost count of how many running backs they have that they're running in personnel regularly. And then you're going to add AB to that. You got to think that they've got to be the immediate favorite on the AFC side. And that's why you're talking about Baltimore. That was exciting because for Baltimore, everybody was saying that Lamar Jackson, Coach Harbaugh, kind of said, we're thinking like over 200 carries. Well, he had like, I think it was 3 or 6 carries. Like he just passed. So it was like the long con of the preseason. Baltimore saying we're going to change the way that the NFL interprets the run, and then they didn't do any of that, and they just threw the ball and put up nearly 60 points.
Our franchise record.
Franchise record.
News this morning out of Miami. I don't know if you heard. Some reporter down there said that a bunch of Dolphins players want out. You saw that?
Yeah.
Who reported that? Some big name reporter in the NFL. I was listening to Le Batard, and he said, that's not news. The news would be if anybody wanted to stay with the Dolphins. Because it was bad, It was bad. So the Ravens offense and AB were your takeaways?
Yeah,
so
and far? I mean, like, also the hype train on the Cleveland Browns comes to
well, let's go down that road.
For please.
At least for 1 week. Yeah. I mean, obviously not the start that Cleveland fans wanted. I don't think they've won a home opener in something
since
like
04.
Yeah, 04. So 15 years. And this was supposed to be the year you've got one of the most stacked rosters on paper, generally speaking, in the NFL. Dorsey's done a great job of putting that roster together. You got Baker, who was saying a lot of things about how exciting that this offense was going to be. And, you know, I don't want to put the loss on Baker Mayfield. He threw three bad interceptions, but a lot of those came when they were already in the hole anyways. Mm-hmm. But got to be a disappointing start. And, you know, I don't think it's quite ready to hit the panic button yet in Cleveland. I mean, there's still 50 more games for them to play. But I don't think it's the start. And conversely, though, all the people that were out there saying, ha ha, I told you so, that they were all hype. Again, I don't think that's, I would wait. I think they still.
But that's the thing, though. Expectations are a dirty, dirty thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the Browns have sold every ticket for the entire season. You want to go to a Browns game? You can't. Or at least you can't buy it from Ticketmaster because they've sold out the entire season. All the hype, all the this. Like Chris Jones, I was just thinking, has anybody checked on Chris Jones today? Because that defense was you mentioned the picks.
Yeah.
The defense was terrible, too.
Yeah.
They looked like the Browns from the last 15 years. And this was not expected. Now, your Titans,
you know what?
They need some credit, too, because they went in there and played pretty well.
They did. It's not like the Browns gave this game away. Now, it's funny. The first snap of the football game was almost picked off. It was almost picked off. And the Titans had to go through Dory Jackson's hands. And then Baker Mayfield proceeded to just be like a surgeon. He looked so good. He had zip on the ball. They were going out to the flat. They were going out deep. They were going through the middle. They were going everywhere. They were running the ball with Nick Chubb. This team looked like a Super Bowl team. And I was sitting there as a Titans fan being like, I hate to say it, but this team is fun to watch.
Yeah.
So when they do get it going, they've got the pieces, and Baker Mayfield's got the skills to be an elite quarterback, and they're gonna do some damage. But then that defense showed up, and Marcus Mariota didn't try to do anything crazy, but he distributed the ball in a really good way. AJ Brown, the first year receiver, was really good. And Cameron Wake, how about him, the former BC Lion, you know, with 2.5 sacks, his 100th career sack. They said he's been the most energized and youthful guy in training camp. He's looked amazing. Got one of the game balls from Mike Vrabel. And we kind of knew Mike Vrabel could coach, but he really seems like the first guy to come out of Bill Belichick's system who actually has a chance to make it as a head coach on his own. And it's super exciting for me.
Well, a lot of it comes down to money. Why Cameron Wake, I believe, isn't in Miami anymore. This is the last thing I'll say on the NFL, and we'll be bringing in Tory Gurley here in about 5 minutes' time. But they act like the salary cap is so complicated, and I believe that it is, like right down to the nickel. And then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown becomes available, and it's like, we got $15 million here for you, $9 million guaranteed. Where did you just come up with $15 million? And next year it's going to be 20. I don't get, is that not, but that says how your Patriots run a team. Obviously, they got a lot of cap room, but I have a tough time believing just sitting there available, but clearly it was.
Belichick is a master. He's a master at managing the cap, and it's the Patriot way.
It seems to be working.
And they cut, because what they do is they kind of have this history of like cutting guys and releasing them. I shouldn't say cutting, releasing guys who are about to get paid a year early. So they might be. And so they don't have to pay him. The guys they do pay, cornerbacks.
Yeah.
By the way, just ahead of Tory Gurley, Brady from Saskatoon chiming in today, ducking out of class, obviously. Brady says on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. Hey, Rod, it's Brady. How you doing today? That was an embarrassing defeat for the Riders. Couldn't tackle. Left wide receivers wide open. Horrible play calling on offense. Oh, yeah. So you just saw for the last 6 weeks the best of the Rider Nation if you live around here. For the next 5 days, you're going to see the worst of the Rider Nation because that's just how it goes. Up and down, up and down. And the Alouettes coming here Saturday. But we're bringing in now our NFL CFL insider, Tory Gurley, veteran of the Four Down League and also with a few CFL teams joining us today from, looks like, his Toronto living room. Am I correct on that, Tori?
Yes, sir. How you guys doing over there? 100%.
I've missed you. It's been far too long since we've talked. Were you in Buffalo? Because it looked like you and the future Mrs. Gurley were partying it up there week one at some sort of tailgate event.
Yeah, no, we were here in Toronto. The NFL had an event yesterday downtown. It was providing a game pass and the season. And it was one of those situations where they wanted former players and to come out and support the calls. And it was a lot of fun. It was a big turnout here in Toronto.
Well, I don't like the sound of that. Let's talk first of all about the NFL imprint in Toronto, man. Do they do this regularly?
No, since it was the 100th year, they had a celebration and they had all the games planned. And me and Derek Talley of the Buffalo Bills, we were the guests, I guess, honorees there at the event. And it was a lot of fun. You know, we got to sit back and watch all the games. And it was just good to see all the people, you know, walk around with their different NFL jerseys on.
Do you have your speakers up, Tori? Is there, or does he need to put his headphones in? Or are we coming through okay to you there? It just sounds like a little bit of back feed problem.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, sounds good. Good enough. So let's start with the NFL. These guys can chime in with their questions, their viewers as well, and we'll wind it up on the CFL, Tori. But my first question was, how are the Patriots doing it whereby they would have that amount of money to bring in Antonio Brown, A, and B, you know, why would they the day before week one when they clearly don't even seem to need him?
It's just the genius of Bill Belichick. He understands how to pay players, get the best out of players for cheap. You know, the only guys he really pay are the defensive backs. Tom Brady is the ultimate team player with always taking a team discount, and that provides so much leverage for the organization to go out and sign whoever they need. But whenever you can have a guy like Tom Brady that's always taking a lower cap hit, it's easy for Bill Belichick to go to other guys and tell them the same thing. Like, hey, we're not even paying the greatest quarterback of all time top dollar, so why should I pay you top dollar? You want to come here and win, or you want to go elsewhere and go lose? And with him putting that type of pressure on, you know, different players, it, obviously people buy in, and that's why they call it the Patriot way.
Can somebody with Antonio Brown's attitude, what we just saw over the last week, how does that play with Bill Belichick? Do you think this was all an act, Tori, or do you think that, because Bill doesn't put up with that stuff as we've seen in the past?
I don't think it's going to work. You know, I grew up around Antonio Brown, especially when it was his first, you know, his third year in the league. We used to train together in Miami, and he was a totally different person. He was very down to earth. He's always been a hard worker, but it seemed like the more success and more money he made, he just started to change as an individual. And definitely that's not going to work in New England. That's something that you have to do is check your attitude at the front door. And if you don't, they'll get rid of you. I was also teammates with Josh Gordon. And, you know, I'm kind of surprised to see Josh still hanging around. But they have Josh on such a minimal cap hit that it's easy to have a player like him just there because he needs every year to get these credited seasons that he missed out on from being suspended over five times in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing how it'll play out. I want to get your take on what happened in Cleveland, too. And I think we had you on before, and there wasn't a lot of love for my Titans, Tori, early on.
But he also wasn't sold on the Browns either, I might remind you.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. But Vrabel's got something going, doesn't he?
Oh, of course. Last year, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the Dallas Cowboys.
And the Pats.
And the Patriots. A lot of people sleep on the Tennessee Titans. The only problem with them is when the game does get close and you're going to need a guy like Marcus Mariota to step up and make a throw, that's something he hasn't consistently done throughout his career. Mm-hmm. But from top to bottom, the way they play defense with Wesley Woodyard, I mean, those guys get after it. You know, Cameron Wake had a great game, and I just love watching Tennessee play. I mean, they're a tough team. They're not going to beat themselves. They're well-disciplined, and it's just hats off to Coach Vrabel because he understands how to win in his league.
So this week was the clavicle injury week. Are the Jaguars, are they done? So Nick Foles sounds like he's on IR for at least 6 to 8 weeks. Is it panic time in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's over with. I was kind of shocked that Jacksonville tried a new offensive approach. I figured with Tom Coughlin still being around and my former coach Doug Marrone, I figured they would try to pound the rock run the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And that was a upset that I was kind of out there calling. But when you go out and you try to go in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, that's not Jacksonville's game at all. And we literally just watched the wheels fall off that car. And that's something that plays into the strength of the Chiefs. So right now with the Jags, anybody that's a fan, hey, try to sell your season tickets now. And hopefully you get something for them because it's going to be a long year.
I like hearing that. What about Indy? Jacoby Brissett, just get a thought about how you thought he played in week one replacing Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I'm not shocked at all. Jacoby Brissett, whenever you have guys like Bill Belichick that support you and guys like former Bill Parcells, when you have Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick backing you, that should give you the ultimate confidence to go out and play at a high level. And with him being eventually sent to Indianapolis and being the number two, you know, he's been around Tom Brady. You know, he's been around Andrew Luck. So with him having the opportunity to be the number one for the Colts, he went out and took them to overtime. And unfortunately, they couldn't get the win. But, you know, I see the Colts still winning 8 or 9 games and being somewhat competitive.
Did you watch much CFL this weekend, Torrey?
Yeah, I watched a little bit.
What was your take on Week 13 in any of the games? Tripleheader Saturday and then Friday night. BC put up a bit of a fight in Montreal, but couldn't pull that one off against the Owls.
Yeah, I'm just excited to watch Winnipeg. I want to see what Winnipeg and Edmonton do. Obviously, Hamilton, you know, they've been rolling lately. They were able to get the win against Toronto in the QEW Classic. I watched that. They have the ultimate home field advantage. You know, I think it's between those three teams. They play extremely well. It's just I don't see anyone else. Maybe some team can catch fire towards the end of the season. But right now, I think those are the three front runners to actually have a legit shot to winning the Grey Cup.
I'll tell you what. You look at the Riders, 6-game winning streak. Everything's going their way. And then they go into Winnipeg and just get – just blown out like that in all three phases. They gave up a return touchdown. Offense, they couldn't do anything. They were giving up sacks. And defensively, Chris Streveler just had them confused all day. What does that do to a team to get blown out like that when you're expecting your 7th straight win?
Well, the week before, they squeaked out with the win. Cody Fajardo was able to get them downfield for the last second field goal. But they particularly, they didn't play well the entire game. And obviously, people were pissed off about the situation with the long snapper. And, you know, guys were going to go at each other, and that's what we end up seeing. But something Winnipeg does, that they're well coached and they know how to take advantage of turnovers and winning field position. So, you know, just seeing them go out and play the way they did, you know, they've always been a front runner for me. And I can definitely see those guys picking it up, especially with getting all the players back from injury and suspensions.
And lastly, your Gamecocks blown out in week one. You ripped them. Your video had 75,000 views last I checked. Maybe it's over 100,000 now. And then they won in week two, did they not? Are you getting any credit for turning around the Gamecocks season?
No credit at all. You know, it's still some upset people around the building, but this is a big week for them. They play the University of Alabama, and, you know, Bama's coming in on a win streak. Last time they were beat at Columbia, South Carolina was in 2010, and I was a part of that team that knocked off the number one ranked Bama. But I just hope those guys can get it together, because if not, I think Alabama is coming to South Carolina to send a subliminal message to Clemson. You know, they're coming in, and right now the Gamecocks are in the middle of a football war between Bama and Clemson because they have to play them both. And I think they're going to go out and try to really run up the scoreboard. So hopefully my Gamecocks can come out and put their best foot forward, because if not, it really could get ugly.
How much are you enjoying this analyst thing here in your first full season of doing it?
It's a lot of fun, especially when I'm on your show. I always look forward to being on every week. Kim is always listening, as well as all the people back in and Stratford. You know, shout out to everybody back there, the Hubick family. And it's a lot of fun. I sit back and watch the games, and yesterday made me realize how blessed and fortunate I was to be a part of both leagues, to play in the CFL and the NFL. And, you know, like I tell any active player, enjoy it while you can, because it goes by so fast.
Well, Torrey, we missed you. Can't wait until the next one already. Enjoy the games, and I appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thanks for having me.
Our NFL CFL insider, Tory Gurley, checking in from Toronto. And how nice is that life to be invited? Oh, the NFL Canada just happens to be throwing an event in downtown Toronto. Do you want to come down as alumni and represent the NFL? Because I saw his Instagram story of it. Damn NFL. Just
life,
stay in America.
Yeah.
What do you think when you hear that, JC?
Well, I think that, you know, we could say that the Winnipeg preseason Raiders game was an interesting litmus test to me. And I mean, we saw the Bills try and go into Toronto with middling success. I mean, I think there's a lot of fans like us that love watching the NFL, but I don't know if you can really have a franchise in Canada. Maybe if they wanted to expand, I think Toronto is maybe the only market that could sustain it. And it does, if that were to happen, I think it would really change the CFL. Not that the Argos are so well attended as a franchise in Toronto, but I mean, I don't love it. The NFL, the CFL obviously is someone who's born and raised in this province, will always take precedent for me, especially the Riders, but I just don't know if I really want to see an NFL team in Canada.
You know, I think we might have a topic here for after the break.
Yeah, I think so.
And also when the commissioner comes in an hour or two, I want to ask him his thoughts in the NFL coming into his backyard and mowing his lawn. Because I'm a little pissed off about it. I mean, you can't blame the NFL. But I thought when the Bills, what'd you call it? Bills series?
Yeah,
what'd they call it?
Sure.
Yeah. When it was an absolute disaster and an embarrassment to Toronto, I thought they'd given up. I honestly did. And now I'm realizing, no, because was it just last week's Fan 590 had a poll? Mm-hmm. Would the NFL survive in Toronto? I'm like, you're still talking about this? And yet, we're talking about the CFL in Halifax.
I know.
Our sales manager, Tyler's from Halifax. He wants it in there. So if we're not giving up putting a team in Halifax, why would Toronto give up bringing an NFL team? I guess I shouldn't have assumed that they would give up, but they're not giving up. And how would it change the CFL? It's a great topic. We'll get to that and more when we come back. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday morning, episode number 69. We're taking all-time number 69s. They include Braden Schramm of the current Riders, former Rider and Bomber Glenn January, the Red Raider. Keep him coming. Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777 or our Facebook wall. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
We'll be right back. If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Monday morning, episode number 69. Darren DuPont here in the bunker, out here in beautiful Western Canada. Cloudy and wet today, or it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, I think so.
Crappy week all week, they say. JC Garden is here from CTV Regina, but not for too much longer. I just want to say this. Of course, we are most, the 90-plus percent of our viewers are on the prairies. Left the gym the other day, and it was raining, and the gal said, oh, well, at least the farmers will be happy, because I was talking about how I couldn't drive with Big Bird. And I'm like, no, no, not now.
She's
trying to be positive.
I know, sure. That's the fallback, though, is that all rain is always good for the farmers, no matter what.
Not now.
No.
So... yeah, if it's raining, go hug a farmer.
Rain in June maybe is okay.
Rain in June is outstanding, yeah. Yes. But and I will also say, did you eat today? Thank a farmer. So coming up, Mike Abou-Meshrick, we thought was to be with us today. Turns out he's not. He's not available. We've got our director of scouting on the couch, Craig Smith, with us. Looking forward to him coming in an hour or two, and we'll also chat with one, Randy Ambrosi from CFL head office. Again, life got in the way for me on Saturday. I love the concept of the triple headers and 9 hours of CFL football. It just didn't work for me because I had my vehicle in a car show. And I'm a car guy now. I like it. I like the whole segment of society. The only thing is, there was a lot of gearheads there and motorheads, and that's not really my thing. I'm like, I'll just drop off my Jeep and then go take off for the day and I'll come back.
Yeah.
I kind of like the car show thing. Totally new to me. I'm liking learning to live again. But with the commissioner coming up, well, my point here is our director of scouting watched all those games, and he'll have his take on all those games. The Argos finally winning. Mm-hmm. And Edmonton, 40,000 plus. The biggest crowd of the season was in Edmonton. And Edmonton knows they're a great CFL town. I'm not sure how many people across the country, unless you are 40 plus, realize how good of a town, well, actually what a great CFL town Edmonton is. They led the CFL in attendance for 20 some years. Like, they were the flagship franchise. They're not now, but then they go out and their team, from what I understand, lays an egg, because I couldn't see it. I was at the wedding of Connor the intern's father and his new bride. So I didn't see any of that game. But to pick up on what JC said before we let him go to his actual job, if the NFL came to Canada, because I thought we gave up on this, but if it were to show up, what would it do to the CFL? I'll start with you, JC, because you dropped the stink bomb, so you clean up the mess. Answer your own question. What would it do to the CFL?
Well, you know, I wonder if the CFL would become more prominent in the medium, large markets. Like, I don't think it changes things in Regina, Edmonton, Calgary, but I think it makes Atlantic Canada more interesting. Do you see perhaps another team in Quebec? Now, I'm just throwing stuff out here, but does it become less about the major markets and more about, you know, keeping the markets like a Regina, for example? Now, Saskatchewan might be an outlier because riders, but I don't know if financially that would make sense, but do you take it actually away from the larger markets? And the next problem you have is if Vancouver and Toronto, more importantly, if they're not involved, what does that do for the broadcasting? Who takes, is TSN still interested? Presumably, yes.
Which is your company.
Which is on my company.
I could go on for hours on this. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I probably have none of the answers, but I certainly like talking about it. Let's just think about this for 1 second. The NFL tried to tickle its toes into Saskatchewan in August and got them cut off by the Riders. Let's just remember that. Riders don't want any competition from the NFL. So for everybody to say, oh, Saskatchewan's got the Riders, so they're fine, I'm not sure that's a slam dunk. And then I mentioned it last week. I don't know if you were watching or not. Probably not, because you were at work. You're not supposed to watch at work.
I catch your little.
But, well, StubHub sent out that news release that said 54% of all international ticket sales are sold in Canada for the NFL. 54%. And Toronto obviously leads, but the two and three cities were Calgary and Edmonton. And I think that would give the willies to any CFL fan in Alberta. It really should. It's not Vancouver. It's not Atlantic Canada. It's Calgary and Edmonton. So the NFL is making some inroads in here, particularly in Alberta. So I'm not, I've been a proponent of moving the Argos to Moncton already. Go. Goodbye. Like, I want them gone. So if you want to plunk an NFL team in Toronto, because I don't even think it's obviously not a good CFL market to begin with. So what are we farting around here for? But those are some of my thoughts. What are yours, Darren,
on this? I think they consider themselves an American city in Toronto.
They do.
In a lot of ways, because yeah. they kind of have that same build, and they have the size, and they've got the infrastructure and everything else. The one thing I will caution everybody is all of these tests that the NFL has failed on, whether it's the NFL in Winnipeg, trying to come to Regina, the Bills series in Toronto, those are not accurate representations of if the NFL will work in Toronto. The way I think I described it in this program, if 5-6 years ago, the Calgary Roughnecks and the Toronto Rock would have played a National Lacrosse League exhibition in Saskatoon or Regina, would we have all went and filled it? No, not a chance would we have filled it. Had 3,000 people in the building, and that would have been it.
So what
right?
changed?
And so we would have all sat there and said, okay, lacrosse is not going to work in Saskatoon, but it's our team. It's Saskatchewan's team. We support it, right? And if Canada had a team in the NFL, the Bills are not Canada's team. 8,000 season tickets, they say, from Toronto or Southern Ontario to Buffalo and to that area. That's because you have NFL fans. They're not all Bills fans. It's because it's the easiest, cheapest, closest place to get the NFL. And you're in for the visiting team. Some Bills fans, sure, but you're in for the NFL. And if we had a team that was our own, we'd support it. For sure we would. Just like we do with the Rush.
Yep. Raps would be the immediate exhibit A to what you're arguing, I would say.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, and Blue Jays, too.
Yeah.
So maybe the NFL team in Toronto becomes Canada's team, and we play outside of it, and we're fine with that. I mean, when's the last time you're in Toronto? I'm there a lot. They are unpatriotic. They do consider themselves an American city. So my thing is just go. You don't want to be here, so go. And their treatment of the CFL as a CFL city of their team is, I've said, borderline abusive. You know, it's an insult the way that they do or don't treat that Argos football team. So move the franchise, take your NFL team, and we'll just play around you. Because when you go to Hamilton, which is like 57 kilometers from the Toronto airport, not that far, distance from Regina to Milestone, that huge CFL town. Go to Ottawa. Seen those games lately? Not Saturday. That's not a great example because they're mad at their team right now. But you see plaid everywhere. It's a wonderful CFL town. Montreal, did you watch that one Friday night? Stadium's packed. Pretty soon they're going to be able to rip those tarps off the upper deck stands and they're going to be filling them with what the Alouettes are doing. The CFL's great, but for Toronto, in my opinion. And it's another reason to step on the accelerator to put a team in Halifax. Again, our sales manager, Totter's from there. He thinks it'll work. One thing I realized coming back from Touchdown Atlantic, which is another thing I want to talk to the commissioner about. I'm taking questions, by the way, for our interview with the commissioner next hour. Yeah, they say it's all we have in Saskatchewan is the Riders. True. Out there, they don't have anything. Nothing.
It would be all they have.
Yeah, I was just there. It was a real big deal to them for the Alouettes and Argos to come out to New Brunswick to play a game because they don't have anything. So I guess the CFL could be stronger everywhere but Toronto is my point. Take your team, leave. Is that rude?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that people in Toronto are anti-Canadian, though. I don't think they're unpatriotic. I do think sometimes they have potentially the attitude that it's bigger than the CFL, right? That we need the NFL because it's a bigger city and we deserve, you know, bigger things. The Leafs can register on that. The Jays can register. The Raptors can register. I think they love Canada. I don't think they would, you know, choose the states over Canada, but I think it's a level of this isn't quite good enough for me. And that's the issue, I think, is that, you know, the Argos were a massive deal right back in the day. It was just the 90s and they were a huge deal. So, you know, I'd love to see that again. That's a little disappointing. I do agree on that.
Your thoughts on this discussion? Have we changed you either way, JC? Have we swayed you on anything?
What I think that a lot of it comes down to, too, with is just the number of entertainment dollars that exist in any one marketplace. And it's just the raw numbers, right? Like in Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, these are cities that have more money to spend. And when you look at, you know, why the NFL, you know, certainly failed in that Winnipeg game, and what would it have done in Regina is my kind of question. As an NFL fan, I would have been in, but at $300 a pop, you know, there's only so many dollars in a marketplace, right? So, I mean, ultimately, Argos going away, NFL coming in, could Toronto support it? You know, certainly, but I just wonder how much money people have to spend. Toronto certainly could. I don't know. I ultimately, if it happened, I'm still a Colts fan. I think that's the thing is that for if you've Tennessee, like you have mm-hmm. a team, Rod, like,
yeah.
I mean, what changes then for me as a fan? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, I was talking to a guy who was asking me about, actually, it was the Pilot Butte Storm, Junior B hockey team, just outside of Regina. And how do we market? How do we get more people to our game? How do we market in Regina? We can't get enough people coming out. I want to put social media out. You don't. They're at a point now, if you're trying to get into the Regina market with the Pats and, you know, you got the Riders and you got all these things that you're competing for, don't. Go to Pilot Butte. Be the greatest thing in that community.
Yeah, market in your area.
Get your 300-400 people out to a game. And that's amazing. You're going to crush it. You'll be the best team in Junior B hockey, right? Are the are the Argos there yet in Toronto? They either have to decide, we're going to step up, spend the marketing dollars, market our players, and compete with the Raptors and the Jays and the Leafs and the NFL too, or do we go to Halifax? Do we go to another market where we have a bigger piece of the pie and we can really own that market and take our 10 to 15,000 or 15 to 20,000 a game and really be successful? Or are we going to try and compete and see if we can't get there in Toronto? That's a big question that MLSC and those guys have to answer.
But that's why I said I could talk about this for hours, because Lee has written in on the Facebook wall and says, I think the Rush might take exception to the comment that we have nothing else here except the Riders. Well, my point... There's no bigger Rush fan than me. I go to every game I can, and you do too. The point is, the perception is all we have is the Riders. And by the way, the Riders have been here for 119 years. The Rush have been here for four.
And there's no overlap on the season.
There's no overlap. So you get what I'm saying. The perception in the country is all we have is the Riders. Because, yeah, we have the Rush. Well, guess what? Atlantic Canada has the Halifax. What are they? No, the lacrosse team. This is their first year they're going to have a lacrosse team. They've moved from Buffalo. So, yeah, the NLL's got a lot of work to do making some inroads as well. But there's an NLL team in Halifax. We're not talking about that. So I guess what my point is, give Toronto their NFL team and just be gone. The Leafs are another topic altogether. You know, what are you checking your phone, DuPont? We're on the air here.
Got to do business. Business doesn't wait.
You can't wait
show.
Till the break. Clearly, your fans can't.
Of course not.
questions for the commissioner, because you're going to have to roll, JC. Anything you'd like to hear from Commissioner Randy Ambrosi? He'll be with us an hour or two.
Yeah, you know, I think I really just want to see where we're at with, you know, the big vision for the league. You know, what is the realistic future? You know, what is the commissioner's, you know, 3-year plan? You know, what does he want to see? Is that the Atlantic franchise in Halifax? But I think that, you know, we're starting to see, as I mean, the last time I was on the show, we were talking about attendance numbers.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit more volatile, you know. So what does the CFL have to do to continue to remain relevant in this country? Not to say that they're irrelevant, not what I'm saying, but how do you keep that that brand strong?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, he's the guy in charge of it. He's the steward of it. And actually, that's another thing I wanted to ask him about, because I'm writing notes down. I should have written these down before I came to the studio. But I just assumed, again, I shouldn't assume, because you know what happens when you assume. But when the Alouettes are finally, we're going to be up for sale from the Wettenhalls, whenever they release their grasp, the Montreal Canadiens would just swoop in, buy them, and move on. And they'd be like MLSC. They'd be like Calgary Sports Entertainment Group, Flames, Oilers, Hitmen, Rush, or Roughnecks, all owned by the same. And for whatever reason, Molson and the Canadiens haven't. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get Randy's take on sports conglomerates, because I like them and I don't like them. But anyways, JC, as we let you go, what's new at CTV News? What do people need to know? What are the big stories you're working on today?
Big stories today. Interesting poll from Nanos Research that CTV conducted about the federal election, where voters stand. Obviously, people in the Prairie Provinces, 59%, saying they are looking forward to a change in government. That is not the case across the country.
Wow.
In Atlantic Canada, mm-hmm. the number is as low as 39%. Number one issue for voters, climate change and the environment, not the economy.
So, interesting.
Some interesting numbers. Not that I want to make this a political show. Dangerous.
We're okay with that. When I was in Moncton, they hated Trudeau out there. But that's just me. Maybe it was just the people that I was hanging around. JC, thanks for coming in. You have an open invite anytime. Thank
you,
my friend.
Thank you very much, Rev.
Appreciate it. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi next hour, and our Director of Scouting, Craig Smith. Hang on, everybody. It's coming up right after the break. It's show number 69 of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC pre-owned means clearance prices on every used vehicle in stock. That means special discounted prices on over 200 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, we have over 40 Jeeps to choose from. Save thousands on this fully loaded, certified pre-owned 2018 Grand Cherokee Limited 4x4. It's only $36,915 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned Compass Limited 4x4 has a clearance price of only $26,998 plus tax. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.